Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us Jody Krangle. Jody, great you could join us today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I don't know why you like waved his hand like that and looked at me. I'm not Jody.
No, Jody's in the picture.
Yeah, I know that, but you know, it was throwing me off for a moment. I thought I was having a role play.
Was I being too handsy while I'm talking?
Yeah, can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm putting my hands under the table here.
So Jody, that looks like an awfully small room you're in. You notice we are, you know, living with all this extra space in here, not by design, that's by default. Uh-huh. Do you have your own little studio you record in, or is that a corner of your bedroom you just throw that blanket up there with you?
No, this is actually a 5x4 sound treated booth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That it actually nice. Looks
sound treated booth. Yeah. Now that's something we've never tried to figure out.
Yeah. We have.
Well, I make my living at this, so you know, gotta invest a little.
Well, that's probably smart on her part.
There's the disconnect. Yeah. She makes a living from it, right? Yeah. So we got you on today to talk about a topic which obviously everybody has heard of, but not really anybody knows anything about, that of kind of voice acting and voiceovers. Now, my first experience with people who could do voices was when I was about 12 years old.
No, the voices in your head doesn't count.
No, not counting those ones. I'm writing a book on those.
Oh.
Okay. There's this kid called Stephen Paik, and I think I was like, I don't know, seventh grade maybe. And this dude used to like always talk in different voices throughout the day, right? And they were pretty good. I mean, didn't take much to impress you when you're like seventh grade. And so he kept doing all these voices, but they become more and more frequent to the point he'd start answering the teachers back, right? In these voices he was doing. And one of the teachers actually wrote something back to his parents. And it turned out he had schizophrenia, which they obviously later came up with a friendlier name, dissociative identity disorder.
Okay.
But that was why we was doing all these different voices. And looking back at it, it was pretty much all the same voice. It was just varying levels of anger kind of like behind the voice. But that was really my first experience with somebody who could do voices.
No.
That's a bit dark.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, so
have you had a thorough,
if you were about to jump off of a bridge.
Yeah.
If you're about to jump off a bridge, I guess go ahead and do it.
Yeah. So. I'm just trying to get all this out the way before the Geico audience tune in.
Well, with that dark part said, so Jody, hopefully you don't have that many voices floating around in your head. How did you get into the voice acting business?
Well, I don't do animation or video games, so you know, there, I don't really do other voices other than my own. So generally, in what I do, I'm not doing that kind of thing. But when I started, it was 95, 96, and I was doing volunteer work for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, actually. That's how I got into voiceovers and even knew it was a thing.
I bet they didn't see that coming.
Nah.
No.
Mm. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were blind, but you were categorized as a visual learner?
Yeah, that would kind of suck.
That's going to throw a block in the way.
Sorry,
go on, Jenny.
So we were reading articles from magazines onto reel-to-reel tape at the time. And it was interesting. I really enjoyed it. But I didn't really know that voiceover was a thing until that moment, until I did that. And it kind of percolated in the back of my head for a little while. I had to sort of let it sit for a bit because I was doing internet marketing and SEO. That was my self-employed job from 95 until 2007. And then in 2007, I got really bored and I decided I was going to do something else, and voiceover was it.
Well, the SEO environment got a bit difficult past a certain point, because originally when you'd like put any tag or use a word to tag something, you had pretty good results with it. But now you use any kind of like search engine optimization stuff, it's like
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
You get nowhere with it. You know, you can spend like
10,000. Well, it was more than that, though.
Yeah,
I mean, because Google became the only game in town.
Yeah.
It just got boring.
Yeah.
I got bored. Like I said, I got bored. There was one search engine that mattered anymore, and the rest of it was like, I remember when Alta Vista was around and Ask Jeeves and all, you know, GeoCities.
He was crap.
Jeeves was terrible.
It's like asking your mum. I mean, he literally knew like about four, like, can you recommend anywhere to eat? He knew like three or four places. It's like, I could have asked my mum that. She'd have known.
Yeah, and they were all Arby's too.
Yeah.
It was always Arby's. Yeah. I don't know why.
I am not saying that they were better than Google. I'm just saying that there were alternatives.
Yeah, they were different. That's for
yes.
certain.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, Jody, yesterday I got an unfortunate product placement commercial after reading a news article. And again, this has got nothing to do with voiceovers whatsoever. But
okay.
It had, you know, the devastating tornadoes which have been ripping through a lot of middle America. And there was an Amazon factory which had been like completely destroyed, and there were like six workers killed and dozens more injured. And so in my feed, directly underneath that commercial, it had Amazon hiring starting at $12 an hour. I thought, this has got to be the worst product placement, like,
absolutely.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. That's got to take the crown for like.
Well, not only that, but maybe somebody lost their job by putting that ad right there.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. You figure somebody would look down and check it. Now, you say you don't do different voices, as in character voices, right? But when you're kind of accentuating certain parts of your own voice to give across, you know, the perception that, you know, you're elated, you're concerned, you're angry, you're happy, you're nervous. Isn't that, in a way, though, a different character voice? Because you're not all of those things all at the same time. I mean, generally, we see very small glimpses of those, I guess, exaggerated type feelings coming through in voices in everyday life. So really, do you not have like a dozen different characters of yourself? The enthusiastic Jody, the down in the dumps Jody, and...
You know what? I would define it a little differently. And that is, who am I talking to? So you talk differently to a six-year-old child than you do to your mother. That's what changes your voice. It really has nothing else to do with it other than that.
Right. So almost more like, you know, speaking to the audience, so to speak, is kind of what you're
saying. But it's
less
an audience. It's one person. The thing about voiceover right now is that it has to be authentic. I have to actually believe what I'm speaking. I have to read a script like I'm not reading and make it sound like these are my thoughts. Right? That's how we have to do it. Because people can recognize BS a mile away these days. Their BS-o-meters are so high, and they're not going to listen to anything that doesn't actually speak to them. So, and I don't blame them. So that just means voice actors need to be really good actors.
Right, and that makes total sense. Not necessarily that you believe in everything that you're reading. You just got to make it sound like you believe it. So you kind of put that in the back of your head, right?
Well, yeah. It's like any actor, when they're doing a scene, there are parts of them in that scene. I mean, most actors, there are probably exceptions, but most actors, they can't be completely not themselves. Like, it's really hard to completely disassociate who you are from who you're playing on a screen.
Kind of like being typecast.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm sure there's probably some voiceover work that you wouldn't be hired for because they're like, well, we don't want a pleasant-sounding female voice for this.
Right.
You know, I really don't want a pleasant-sounding female voice telling me about prostate medication.
Right. But you also have...
I want a down-and-out dude. Yeah. It's like, you know, this really sucks, but if you take this pill, maybe you won't die. You know, because I don't need Happy Jody saying, hey, if you'd like to take this pill, maybe you won't die. Yeah. You know,
because then I'm not gonna... Jody isn't always happy.
Oh,
just,
okay.
You know. So, yes, there are different emotions that you can use with your voice. Generally, those have to do with who you're talking to and why you're talking to them. So it's all in the script. The information is there. If you know who you're talking to and why you're talking to them, you can pretty much make your voice sound the way it needs to sound.
So if we reverse engineer this a little bit, How and when did you first kind of realize, oh, I have an okay voice, and your friends or family are telling you it's lovely and you can do different
voices? Can't you be a little nicer than that? She doesn't have just an okay voice.
Well,
she's got a better voice than you and
I was thinking this started when she was about five. If somebody tells you you've got an okay voice when you're about five, you're going, all right, that's all right.
I mean, do you realize the gamble that we're doing
She's not on America's Got Talent, and I'm saying, oh, that was okay, Jody, but I'm going to say
I'm not going to hit the golden buzzer.
Kid who could balance the seal on a chainsaw wins that one.
But here's the problem. I'm already worried about this being the last episode of the podcast because everybody's going to hear her now and say, well, I'm just going to listen to her podcast. She's a heck of a lot better to listen to than you and I.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any dark stories about schizophrenia.
No, that's true. Yeah. Well, now she does. She's just going to steal that.
All right. So where was I going with that one?
Well, you called her voice okay.
Yeah.
Let's try that again.
I'm saying, all right then. Well, I don't know what they said to her. So I was taking the middle route. Because you know what kids are like? Kids can be mean. She might have done some awesome voices and some bully kid might have said, you sound like poop. You should never talk ever again.
Or maybe she actually had supportive friends and family, unlike us.
Right.
So.
Okay. So tell us the story.
Okay. Well, I will say that I have been told from a pretty early age that I had a good voice, yes. But that's not all that voiceover is. and the reason I say that is because really, as we were talking about, this is all about authenticity. If I can't sound like I believe what I'm saying, it doesn't matter how pleasant my voice is. No one's going to care. So, you know, your voice being pleasant isn't all of what this is all I'm saying. And there are places for every single voice out there in various different mediums and for various different reasons. It just depends on what you do with it. And that takes coaching.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. So going into kind of that voice and that authenticity, are there voices out there in not necessarily the voiceover world, but that are popular voices, let's say Morgan Freeman, right? Everybody goes to him, right?
Sure.
Are there any voices that are out there that you just hear and you cringe?
Cringe? No.
Yeah. Like no. You know, honestly, it's like, no. Oh, that person, I mean, I can think of like three names right now, but I don't want to like repeat those names. But you like hear the voice like Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. It's like, oh, I hate that guy's voice. I just want to reach through the TV and strangle him just hearing the sound of his voice.
Well, there's the people I associate with certain commercials. I don't know who they are. Like, they're not famous enough for me to have heard of them, but I always associate them with that commercial. And it has been known to actually put me off products in the past, or sometimes if I don't like a product, it's like I don't care who's doing the voiceover, I've automatically kind of like disliking it because of that association.
Right. Well, okay, but a lot of times you actually have to see the person. Like I'm really thinking about getting rid of Verizon because they have that woman on there that's doing the Verizon commercials now that thinks she's funny. And I just don't like her at all. And so I'm thinking about switching again.
I can tell you she's written that way. She probably has very little to say in what she is told to say.
Now, have you done voiceovers for products which you really dislike or hate, or faking enthusiasm's kind of like pretty difficult for it?
You know, there are some things that I would not do. And that would probably be my criteria for certain things. I would never do something that I was that put off by. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I didn't really particularly love that particular product, but I did love a product that was in that segment, I might just make believe I'm advertising for that particular product I really like instead of the one I'm doing.
Now, have you done any women's sanitary products? Because I love those commercials because they're always so upbeat, you know, kind of, body
always,
form.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make me want to go out and like ski and like go on the ocean and stuff.
What channel are you watching where you're seeing all of these commercials?
South Park.
Oh, I doubt it's South Park.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There are commercials which, even though the product doesn't apply to you, you can kind of enjoy the commercial because they do the narration on it. It's such so upbeat and makes you feel good. Whereas that one for Olive Garden, where they have that dude who's trying to sound all like Italian gangster, New York gangster type thing. I hate that commercial because his voice, all that, when you're here, your family, blah, 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 blah. Well, your food's substandard, mate. If my family didn't cook like this, I'd be going to somebody else's for Thanksgiving anyway.
So. I hate that, by the way, as a, what do you call it? Not a motto, but a tagline or a slogan for a restaurant, because they took out the dating scene. When you're here, your family. So if you take a date, isn't that incest?
Might be right in Alabama, I don't know.
Well, far, fair enough. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. So when you're approaching, like, doing a voiceover for a product, is it better for you just to focus on the emotions than the product itself? Almost cut the product out of the equation? Like, okay, this... So the product could almost be anything. It's just they want you to elude excitement and satisfaction, contentment in your voiceover. Do you really try and attribute all that to the product and focus on the product, or do you just go through what you know works in terms of how you sound most convincingly enthusiastic, etc.?
Well, I mean, there is no cookie cutter for this, right? You have to sort of go on a case-by-case basis. So it depends. You know, yes, the product is important, and definitely the people who produce the product want me to make sure that that product is important in what I'm saying. So really, the product just dictates who I'm talking to, where I'm talking to them, and, you know, what I'm saying. So, you know, I just have to sort of keep that all in mind and make sure that I am representing the product in an authentic way. As much as I possibly can. And the script itself has a lot of hints as to how you would do that. You know, it kind of sort of tells you who you're talking to. It tells you what the particular strong points of this product are and why they're important. And, you know, all you just have to know how to read the script. You have to know how to read between those lines, too.
So when you were getting into the voiceover business and you were doing the volunteer work and all that good stuff, and then you figured it out and said, hey, you know, I got a knack for this and all that, and you got going in, did you ever kind of run across people that you heard something, maybe you did an audition for? I'm guessing that's the way it works, right? You know, you're going to record something and then you figure out whether or not you got the job. Am I on the right track there?
They only tell you if you get the job.
Okay, so gotcha.
In a lot of cases, you'll do auditions all day long and hear absolutely nothing.
Gotcha.
You have to be okay with that.
So have you ever ran across somebody that, you know, you tried to help out and you just wanted to say, hey, you just don't have the chops for this?
You know, no, because I'm not a coach, so I don't tend to be put into situations like that, thankfully. I would never say that if this was someone's dream that they shouldn't go for it. I would never say that to anybody. That, you know, people can have dreams. They can do whatever they want to do. It does take some coaching, and it does take some knowledge and some understanding and some experience. And if you're not willing to put in the coaching and take the time to have the experience, then you're probably not going to improve and you're not going to become a voice actor. That's just, you know, that's how it works. So there are probably some people who may have a hard time, like people who have speech impediments, for instance. That's kind of makes it hard to be a voice actor. Although, if you're doing animation and video games, maybe not, right? Like, there's a voice for everybody. There is a place for every voice. So it really just depends on where you want to get your business from.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, which actually was the way I wanted to ask the question, and so you corrected me. So did you go through, like, coaching of how to do this, or is this just like a natural talent? And we'll walk us through just kind of the little short part of, you know, just like a summary of going through that coaching to get you, you know, to be a voice actor or a voiceover talent.
Well, what actually happens is that you start off thinking you know a whole lot of stuff that you really don't know. And like anyone, you need to be sort of pushed out of that knowledge and into understanding that you don't know, and then get the coaching. So it's kind of like you start off somewhere where you are authentically you, and then they put a script in front of you and ask you to read it but not sound like you're reading. And then you're like, what? what do I do? Like, I'm going to say this word like this, and then I'm going to speak like this, because you're reading, right? And you're reading and not thinking about acting at all. There's just the words on the page that you have to get out. So there's levels of this. You go to coaching and you learn how to become a good reader so that you can sight read and not sound like you're reading. So that helps a lot. But the coaching takes you from the point of not being authentic while you're worrying about reading to being able to be authentic while you're reading, understand the copy, be in a completely unnatural environment and still sound natural. And that's where the acting comes in. Because really, if you're thinking about this in terms of what you have to be doing while you're doing this job, I'm sitting in a 5x4 booth staring at a screen with a microphone stuck in my face and headphones on, right? And probably would have a script in front of me. It's the most unnatural place you could possibly be making believe you're talking to someone, right? So you have to then be comfortable taking that environment and making it sound real. And that takes coaching. It takes acting lessons. It takes improv. It can even take singing lessons because that helps you with your voice. There's all sorts of things that help you get to that point. But there's going to come a point where you're not just acting, but you're being you acting. Finding your authentic voice in the middle of all of that is really when you know that you've got something going.
Now, do you think in the future that would be something you'd like to do, maybe set up coaching or a school or something for potential voice actors? I mean, if you do,
Max and I
will be awesome for one good reason, because when somebody says, I'm thinking about getting into voice acting, we can just be like, no, you really shouldn't. You sound really annoying and stupid. Right. You should probably go and be an accountant or something.
Yeah, we can whittle through the wrong people. Yeah. Because you're too nice of a person to do that, apparently. We'll say, yeah, your voice sucks.
Now can you actually sit and enjoy watching commercials, or do you get really riled up and critique? I mean, like watching the halftime show at the Super Bowl with all the commercials, is it like you're just sitting there with somebody like Tourette's being like, that's a bag of crap?
Yeah.
Can you enjoy watching commercials with voiceovers?
I could have read that better. Yeah. I could have done that better. That voice was terrible. Yeah. Bad choice there, yeah. Coca-Cola. You shouldn't have picked that person. I could have done a heck of a lot better.
I have to tell you, the voiceover industry is probably one of the nicest industries I have ever been a part of. So, no, I don't tend to do that because I'm happy for the person that got that job because they're getting a nice paycheck. Good on them.
So they're really no arsehole. They're really no arseholes in the voiceover industry. You don't have to name them, obviously, but
I haven't met any.
Because some of them sound like arseholes, I'll be honest. Yeah.
but they're using that in that voice to sound that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's actually kind of disappointing. I mean, I knew Jody was a nice person and everything, but I mean, we're throwing some hardball. Not only are we not cut out for it, but we're trying to get her to just get some like mean stuff out, and she just won't do it because she's too nice of a person. Right. Like she says, everybody in the voiceover industry is nice. I think we'd last about 30 seconds.
Well, actually, she's going to want to end her career the moment she hears your genuine British accent. You've got to hear his British accent. Just close your eyes. And honestly, do a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
Because I actually know two of the people who do voices for that one.
But isn't the lizard a British lizard?
What do you mean?
In the Geico commercial, isn't he a British lizard?
Oh, the dude who does the voices?
Well, the lizard himself.
I don't know. He just speaks in a British accent.
Right.
But I've only ever seen him in America, so I don't know if he's just one of those people who puts on an accent to get
So I'm supposed to do, 15 minutes?
Geico accent. No.
15 minutes saves 15%. Yeah. Try that, my British accent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 15 minutes, they'll save you 15%. Sounds just like him.
You still have a career, Jody.
It literally sounds just like him.
You still have a career. I know. She was sitting there. I was watching her face, and she actually, for the first time,
frowned.
She wasn't kind of smiling. She looked pensive, like, oh my goodness, I'm about to be. This must be like the first person who discovered Eminem or something. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is like raw organic talent.
No. The exact opposite.
It was crap.
Okay. Now do a Geico commercial in an American accent.
And it, well, I've now, I don't have any frame of reference. You've had years of frame of reference to model your voice upon. I'm having to manufacture it in my head automatically.
It's but that's literally just what I did.
I'm not operating on those conditions.
See what I put up with?
Oh. I can see, yeah.
So, Jody, tell us a little bit about your podcast, how long you've been going, what kind of topics you cover.
Oh, my goodness, a lot. it's about 2 years old now, and I started November of 2019. And I talk about all things sound. So it really is about the power of sound. I talk about storytelling and podcasting and public speaking and voiceovers and audio branding itself, which is an entirely sort of new field, actually. I think 2009 maybe was when it started becoming a little mainstream, but it still has a long way to go and people are not giving it its due. I think it really is a big part of advertising and should be a lot bigger.
Right. And so explain a little bit what audio branding is.
It's a lot of things. It's the music you use, the voice you use, the sounds you use in the objects you create. GE, maybe their kettle makes a certain sound. It can even be in the way that a door closes on a car. I mean, these are things that are specific to certain types of cars, right? They have a higher end feel because the way that the door sounds when it closes is a specific sound. Snapple, they've designed their tops to have a certain pop, right? And even the plastic bottles that they're using now, they've also designed them to have the specific sound, even though they're no longer glass. So it's very interesting how this works into everything. It's a lot more than a sonic logo. It's everything that is sound that's involved with telling the world who your company is.
Now, I guess it's one of those industries where normal people, I was going to say like me and you, but let's just pretend a little bit there. I have no idea how many people are actually in the industry. Like if you ask me to guess how many people are in the industry, you think, well, there's only a finite number of commercials. So maybe, I don't know, 50 or 100 regular working people.
I was going to guess more than six.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many people are there out there? Maybe, I don't know, just like in North America who really regularly work, I guess, doing this.
In voiceovers or in audio branding?
Voiceovers.
Oh, there's thousands and thousands. Mm. Are they making a living at it? Maybe not. You know, it just depends. It's a competitive market. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing voiceovers. And there are so many different reasons to have voiceover. You know, e-learning, documentaries, TV narration, kiosks, telephone stuff, narrations for websites, commercials, of course. There's all sorts of stuff. And the amount of work that is for this kind of stuff is always expanding.
Yeah, it kind of brings back to what you were talking about GE. I remember years ago, I went on a tour in New York of the NBC deal. You know, you do the NBC tour and all that. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I never knew, but NBC used to be owned by General Electric. And, and the NBC, is actually GEC as far as music goes. And because they were owned by General Electric Corporation, they made that tone, GEC. And I know you know zero about music as far as that's concerned. Mm. But Jody kind of had that look like, oh, yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah. But it was also
They needed sign-off. They needed a sign-off for early television. And that's what they were using. But it only became their sonic logo because they used it so often and so repetitively and so consistently. And people started to associate it with NBC. So that's what happens with audio branding. You do these things enough times consistently over a period of time, and people associate that sound with who you are.
So the reason I bring that up is now I'm going to explain once again why Star Wars Episode 8 was a dumpster fire of a movie. Every one of the Star Wars movies up until Episode 8 used the Wilhelm scream. And, of course, being in audio, Jody, you know exactly what the Wilhelm scream is.
Yep.
But they were the first ones to decide they didn't want to put the Wilhelm scream in there. And I believe, and I think Jody would 100% agree, that is why that movie's a dumpster fire.
So explain what that is.
I'm going to let Jody explain, because right, I could see her nodding her head in the audio branding audio thing. Uh-huh. She knows exactly what the Wilhelm scream is.
Well, you know what Foley is, right?
No.
Okay, Foley
Axel
is...
Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Foley is the sound effects that are created for movies. Because when you're actually filming a movie and you're trying to get the audio for that movie, you want to focus on what the actors are speaking and not the environment necessarily. So they kind of make the environment later in post. Right. So rain, like they don't, if you actually took out a microphone and tried to record rain, it wouldn't sound anything like it does on a screen. You wouldn't recognize it. Right. So what they do is that, like, they've used sizzling bacon to make rain sounds for movies. So they use different things in a movie, on a movie set, to create these sounds that then become the sound effects that you're going to use in the movie. And from what I understand, the Wilhelm scream was this one particular dying scream that was recorded, I don't know, like 70 years ago or something like that now. Like, it's a really, really long time ago. And they reuse it in many, many different movies just because it's this perfect dying scream of this guy. And it's really hard to recreate that. And we've started to associate these types of screams with that one scream. Yeah,
I don't remember the name of the movie, but it was like 60 or 70 years ago. And I think it was, the actor's name was Wilhelm or whatever his last name. And it was in a pirate movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's fallen off a ship and he goes, ah! And it's the same scream. Let's see, episode 4... the stormtrooper that falls down is Leia and Luke, you know, they're shooting the stormtroopers that are up there. You hear the scream. I don't remember where it's at in Empire because I wasn't ready to actually bring this up. I didn't even think about it. Mm. But Boba Fett in Jedi, remember when he's falling in the Sarlacc and you hear that scream? It's that scream. Yeah. And it was in all the Indiana Jones movies, all that. Like, several movies have had that scream. But our friend that made episode 8, who shall remain nameless because I hate that guy, he decided that would be the first Star Wars movie to remove it. Mm. And it was bad luck.
Yeah.
So
I hope the scream was better than one you did, because you sounded like a crow who you've kind of disturbed by opening your back door.
Like, oh,
Wilhelm went for it. Oh, he went for it. Yeah, that was like the best scream ever. They wouldn't be using it 60 years later.
Maybe there was no method acting. Maybe they just like got a pair of pliers and ripped his nipple off and just put the microphone there, and that's why it's so great.
No. I don't know, but he definitely went all in.
Now, I was actually going to ask you a question at the end of the podcast, but I thought it might be ending on a bit of a depressing note, which, given I started off talking about schizophrenia and
you tried your best to make this depressing, but you can't do it, can you?
Do you ever think you'll be replaced by robots? And I mean by that, that obviously there's so much opportunity now for synthetic voice manipulation. Even if you start with a standard voice, you can twist and turn that and manipulate it into almost anything, just like you can with a single image. Do you think that technology will increase to the point where you literally can just have anybody reading something and you'd be able to manipulate it exactly where you want, and the computer's algorithms will know, you know, if you want inflection and put enthusiasm in the certain word, that it will be able to do that to the point where voiceovers essentially go away in the traditional sense?
You know, there's a lot of answers to that question. I do think that it will replace some voiceover, definitely. Yeah, I think that will be where you have articles read for people if they wanted to, like, press a link and then just have the article read instead of reading it. There are certain e-learning things that definitely could go the way of AI. There's definitely some textbooks, for instance, that could be read by AI and not a person. I definitely think it has a place. Do I think it's going to replace all human voiceovers? No. And the reason I don't is because an AI, as much as you program it to, does not have emotion. And you can tell it to do these things for a certain amount of time. But if you're going to try and get the nuances of the human that is actually speaking these words to care about it and to let other people hear that they're caring about it. I think that's going to take a lot more programming than just hiring a voice talent.
Yeah, well, I think you've got two different types of audience when it comes to commercials. I mean, you've got some people who watch the commercial but not really listen to what's being said, and then you've got people who listen to it in the background and they're not really watching other than looking up every now and then. But, you know, the reason I brought that up about, you know, robots, for want of a better term, you know, kind of taking over the industry is that, you know, I play certain sporting computer games like FIFA.
Yep.
And the commentary, other than the original commentators recording it, they put it together to fit moments in the game, and it's seamless. I mean, it's better commentary than I hear on most live soccer games, just simply because, I mean, yeah. But, you know, the enthusiasm's there. They accurately describe what's going on the field, and it's constantly updated with facts about the teams and the players, and so they'll actually reference that player, how many games they scored in the last, goals they scored in the last game, when their birthday is, you know, this type of stuff. But, I mean, it's just an incredible job. I mean, it's almost indiscernible from the real thing, except that it's actually better than the real thing, and the fact that it's not, doesn't have faults in there and awkward pauses and sometimes maybe not such great kind of humor, whatever, that's the only reason you can tell the difference, because it's not flawed.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the AI voices, the way that you will tell is the inflections. Some of the inflections are weird on the end of sentences, or they don't end a sentence when you think they should, or there's a pause here when not a human wouldn't pause there, or something like that. So there's some oddities. But yeah, I mean, definitely it's an AI voice. It can think a lot faster than a human. So yeah, that makes total sense. If you were to listen to a prolonged piece of copy that needed different nuances and emotion over a certain period of time, and the emotion was switching, it would be a little more difficult to do that with a voice AI, because it wouldn't do it automatically. You'd have to have that programmed in. And for the person who's going through, for instance, there are a lot of people developing video games, for instance, that are using AI voices as like placeholders. And it works to a certain extent, but it doesn't immerse you the way that a human voice acting actually does, and it takes more time for them to make those nuances possible than it would be to just hire someone to do it. So I think that if you're talking about the convergence of how much of a pain in the butt is this to program and how much do we have to pay the voice actor, I think that there is definitely, you know, sliding scales, and people have their different opinions on that. But I don't think that voice AI is going to completely replace the human voice. I think that there will always be a place for acting. They said the same thing about CGI, right? Like, people, you can create realistic looking people with CGI. But there's this uncanny valley thing where we can sort of tell and it puts us off a little bit. And I think that the same thing is going to happen with voice.
Well, I think you're kind of along that right line on the flip side of it, because like I have Alexas at my house, right? And I'll, you know, say, Alexa, tell me the weather. And then, you know, she'll tell me the weather and then she'll say, would you like to hear this? And I'm like, no, will you shut up? And okay. You know, it's like, I just yelled at you. If it was a person, they'd be like, well, what are you yelling at me for? Or something like that. The AI, they can't take that inflection or the emotion that is in that person's voice that's talking to them, and then be able to understand how to react to the question. I can ask you something seriously or sarcastically or funny.
Yeah, and intention.
And you give three different answers based off of the way that I phrase the question and the inflection in my voice.
Yeah, and that is something that usually an AI can't figure out. I mean, who knows? That'll get better. This thing will always get better. This is what happens, right? We develop things that work better. That's how it always goes. I just think that we are more likely to use voice AI for certain tasks because that's what it's made for. And that there are certain tasks that humans are just better able to do and that we want to hear humans doing. When you're talking about a chatbot, that's something completely different. We expect a robotic voice, right? That's not a problem. And do we, like, there's another question, right? Like, do you need to be polite to a voice AI, right? Like, what is that going to do? If all we're hearing are voice AI for long, prolonged periods of time, how do you differentiate being actually kind to your fellow humans? Like, this is, you know, we have to sort of think about how this is going to affect everything.
Now, I think the definition of sound is like disturbance in matter. And obviously, you know, there's
vibrations.
A panpsychist view that, you know, obviously all matter has some level of consciousness. Now, branching into that kind of philosophical area or spiritual area, have you found a lot more appreciation, I guess, for the human voice past our everyday, you know, regular communication, that you really pick up on things which aren't said in somebody's voices? Like, somebody can say something very, very convincingly, but you can really just read them very well and just pick up on those smallest little pockets of emotion to actually hear, I guess, more what they're really saying without saying it.
I think we all have that potential. And I think it's actually easier for us to discern the lies in voice than it is in a lot of other ways. So yeah, this is a very important sense. Also, keep in mind that the vibrations that we are hearing are coming through our own ears, and they're interpreting to our brain what it is we're, quote, hearing. And everyone has a different interpretation from what's going on from their ear to their brain. So really, that's why people tell you the way to hear how you actually hear to other people is to record your voice, because you're never actually going to get the objective sound of how you sound until you put it down in some format, because when it's coming out at you, your ears are interpreting it in one way and someone else's ears are interpreting it in a different way. So it's really very interpretive, and it's hard to say that the way I'm hearing it is the way it is.
Now, do you find that as a general rule, people tend to think their own voice sounds better, or are they more critical and actually think it sounds worse than it is? Because, I mean, obviously something happens from the time your voice leaves your mouth and you hit your tympanic membrane.
Sure.
But from that point, obviously it's the brain putting in its own opinion in terms of how you sound. Do people kind of think they sound way better than they do? I mean, just like in the Shepherd Maxie's case of accents there,
maybe
thinking
if
it's
drunk.
The greatest thing on earth.
But honestly, in the same vein, or I've always heard most people actually don't like the sound of their own voice. So in your experience, which one is it? And for the people especially that say they don't like the sound of their voice, mm-hmm. what kind of opinion or help could you give them to get them over that?
Probably stop talking.
Well, that would be advice.
That doesn't solve the problem, really.
It's a solution.
Yeah, I guess, for other people. Yeah. You know, I have come across more people that dislike their voice than that like their voice. And I think that that has a lot to do with how critical we are of ourselves. And we're just very hard on ourselves. Most of us are very hypercritical of our own selves. And we need to be careful about that, because that can really hurt you. But I think that some of the things that you could do to improve your voice is to breathe properly. A lot of people, this is going to sound really strange, but a lot of people don't breathe properly. They take in air and they suck in their stomach. And when you're taking in air, you should be expanding your stomach. It's like a balloon, right? You take in air into the balloon expands. So I know. Look around. See if you're doing it the right way.
The problem apparently is both of us look like we're breathing constantly because we've got so much air apparently stored in our stomachs.
That's
so
what it is.
That's what it is.
Not
we're storing
fat.
Air.
Yes, we're breathing properly, and so our stomachs are expanding.
Yeah.
So
that's
thank you for
is.
That, Jody. See, that, I told you she was nice.
Right.
That's what I'm going to tell my wife tonight. I'm going to be like, I am not fat. I'm breathing properly.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem with that, holler at Jody. She's going to explain that this is not fat. This is me breathing properly.
Uh-huh. But tell her that she's got to breathe in whatever method she has been using, because the last thing you want is her walking around looking like she's pregnant.
That's true.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to say to that one, guys. I really advise you not say that to your wife, okay?
Well, actually, his wife did actually tell him he had a fake radio voice.
Yeah, that is true.
But pretty early on when we started doing the podcast, didn't she?
Well, not only that, but she always said that my voice changes when I'm on the phone, too.
Right.
That I have like this phone voice, you know, talking voice or whatever. And then when I talk to her, my voice is different. And I'm like, I don't hear it. But
that's voiceover 101. Yeah. That is you changing your tone of voice depending on who you're talking to.
I don't think you have a fake radio voice. I think you have a professional voice. I'd give it a professional label.
Do you want to borrow some money or something? No. Is that way of being nice?
No, I've just told you your accents are crap.
Oh, well, that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
But going forward, how do you see, I guess, with more apps and more voiceovers, narration taken away from real people, do you find that people are going to get lost in the emotion that comes through voices if that authenticity isn't given them to through humans? Because there's a lot of natural distrust of AI because we don't trust the motives behind it. You know, mm-hmm. You figure if you're dealing with a robot, there's a reason why you're dealing with a robot, right? And so you don't really trust the motive behind it. And also with voiceovers, if they're synthetically produced, again, there's going to be that subconscious level of distrust behind it. So do you think for specific products where you're really having to convince somebody of something, like maybe for a health situation or if something's genuinely good for you rather than selling them a, you know, 4K TV or whatever, do you think they'll always remain human narration and voiceovers with certain things just simply because it gains the trust of humans a lot more?
I think that's probably accurate. Yeah. I mean, if it needs to be trusted, then yeah, it's likely that people are going to use real human voices. But I mean, there's always motivation behind these things. Why is the voice actor being hired? You know, it just depends on, I think, who the end listener is and how important the message is. If the message is very important, I think that they're going to want a human voice. But if the message needs to be dynamically changed on a very quick basis, I think that AI will serve that purpose.
So you mentioned earlier about like breeding techniques and all that, and you watch, let's say, professional football, and you're watching the pregame, even the pros, they're out there stretching, they're out there warming up, right? Can you walk us through kind of what your warm-up is? I've got to imagine you've got something in there as far as not only do you take care of your voice in a certain way, but also do you warm up before you get ready to do a voiceover?
I think you are attributing way more expertise on that to me than I honestly don't warm up all that much, to be quite honest. I drink a lot of water. I will sing to myself every once in a while. That actually does help open things up a little more. I make sure to brush my teeth before I start a session because that helps. There's less sticky stuff, right? Other than that, no. I mean, I don't do a whole lot of warm-up exercises or anything like that. I just never have.
Do you ever do any
That's probably.
Do you ever do any of those sad commercials, those ones they show at like 1:30 in the morning with the dogs in the kill shelter of, you know, just $12 a month can stop little Layla here from being put down tomorrow.
See, I was going to defend you and I was going to say, no, that's all totally Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
It's always
Sarah McLachlan. She's the musician.
An angel. Yeah. It's like this little dog sitting there like, if you just give me 75 cents, nobody would have to kill
Save
me.
Save the animals. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I definitely, I mean, it's actually something
you're,
that I would,
you're too
I would
cheery
totally
of a. No, you're too cheery of a person. It wouldn't work. Right.
She has a very utopian voice. Yes, like even if she read out a dystopian scenario, I'd still have hope.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
Yes. So Jody,
well, I would hope that there's hope, but yeah. It sounds like you haven't really listened to all of my demos.
I've been watching too many episodes of Black Mirror.
Like, oh no! Now we have listened to your demos.
We have
the ones that are on the website, and I'm like, look, okay. You know, Jody is one of those people that everybody has heard, but maybe never heard of, because he's like, oh yeah, I've heard this commercial. I'm like, yeah, that's the chick from the Chase commercial, or that's the chick from this one, or whatever. Now, so I just sent you a deal via Facebook Messenger. We gave you a little bit of warning on this, but not too much. So I was asking you about your warm-ups. And I was hoping that you would say that, yes, you do warm-ups, but apparently you don't. So what'd you do with the piece of paper?
I don't. I'm looking at one of them.
Yeah. So these are from the Anchorman movie when Will Ferrell, and hopefully, please tell me you've seen Anchorman.
I actually have not.
Oh, so this is going to make it even. This is going to make it even more interesting. So let me give you just a little snip. So at the beginning of the movie, when they're going through the credits, he's sitting there at the anchor chair, and the credits are rolling or whatever, and he's doing his vocal warm-ups, and these are the things that he says.
Okay.
So you have a little plan with this, but we want to play this game with you. So if you get one and you want one of us to do it in a different accent than we normally do, you can say, okay, I want you to do the next one on the list, and Tristan, you have to do it in a French accent or something like
that. He's doing a lot pointing at me, but no, none of this stuff.
Yeah, no, there's no fingers pointing back at me. So okay, but we want you to get started, at least with the first one, so everybody knows. Now, and by the way, you are welcome. Now you do have vocal warm-ups, so you can use these Anchorman warm-ups.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I would like an Arnold Palmer at the omelet parlor. Wow, that is difficult. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
A tarantula enjoys a fine chewing gum. Okay, that's not
Well, you see,
bad.
Now, the character, Ron Burgundy, he has a very trustworthy voice for the city of San Diego.
Yes.
Okay.
And so his type of way of saying this is, a tarantula enjoys a fine chewing gum. Well, I would like an Arnold Palmer at the omelet parlor.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is,
yeah.
So we got
it. Was stabbed by a spear.
Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We should have alluded to that. Yeah. This is serious, Jody. This is not too happy, Jody. You got to be convincing.
Okay. But the next one, you guys got to do.
Oh, okay. You know I figured that was coming. No.
Do that one in an Irish accent.
Irish.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The garden gnome has an enormous size penis.
Sorry, Irish.
That was Irish.
Is that not Turkish?
That's like...
I can do an angry Irish voice.
Okay, oh okay.
Angry right. Irish, right.
Why don't you do the next one, Irish?
Okay. Wendy wore her wedding dress to the orgy.
Okay, that did sound pretty Irish.
That sounds a little more, yeah.
Yeah, but they're all on the same island over there. No, so that's not really
That's completely
fun.
A different island, mate. That's the one next to us, on the left of us, different island.
Six to one, half dozen to the other.
That's why they called it island, actually. Yeah.
All right, Jody, you're up next.
Okay. The Human Torch is denied a bank loan. Arsonist has oddly shaped feet. Why don't you guys take the next one?
Oh, no, we got to hear you do that one.
What? Oh.
The next one.
The skeleton ran out of shampoo in the shower. Okay.
Right, I'll do the next one in a Scottish voice or something. Sure. The bishop wear beardless chaps to the bar mitzvah. That sounded a bit more like an angry German.
Yeah,
that Well, just did. German, period, actually, because they all
that
sound
did
angry.
Sound very, very German. And she 100% has to do this one. Jody, you have to do the next one. This is the most famous one from the movie, by the way.
Okay. You know New York. You need New York. You know you unique New York.
She did that so well.
Oh my goodness.
I don't remember this next one. Chop suey says choppy.
Oh, that was in the outtakes.
Oh, okay.
Didn't see that. Yeah. Okay.
All right, Jody, you're up next. The last one on the first page.
Yes. Mickey Mouse shrieked in pain as the bear trap severed his right leg. Okay, that is interesting. This is definitely...
Do your French accent. Do your French accent for the next one.
Who, me?
No, him.
Oh, because I don't have one. No, go ahead.
Well, he doesn't have an English one either, but that doesn't stop him every podcast. So do a French one. See if it sounds any different to your Irish. Okay. French.
I'm trying to figure out what's a French word? Omelette? Omelette de fromage. There's French. Andre the Giant gave a surprisingly nimble foot rub.
Is that French?
I'm pretty sure that's French.
Boy. Well, there we go. Andre the Giant gave a surprisingly nimble foot rub. At least make it sound French. I know I sounded like the Count from Sesame Street, but at least it sounded better than that.
It sounded like you had a speech impediment on that.
Mm. How now, brown cow? How now? Oh, my goodness. These are funny.
The tooth fairy exposing herself made the child uncomfortable.
What accent was that? Romanian?
Burgundy?
No, I think that was Swedish.
Is it?
Yeah, we should have got Toral. Yeah, it really wasn't.
We did actually have a Swedish lady on the podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about genetics, CRISPR, genetic modification. And I did tell her that she sounded like the chef from The Muppets, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because she finished off, she read something or said something in Swedish for us. But
yeah, that was not awkward for you to say to her at all.
100% chef from The Muppets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of was.
Okay. But
anyway, well, thanks for being a good sport with those, Jody's. We have had those in our drawer down there. We're like, hey, we're going to use these as our vocal warm-ups. I'm like, wait a second. We're not that professional with this. But we got to leave that to the pros like Jody. So, Jody, thanks so much for joining us today. Can you tell everybody how they can find you on the website, social media, all that good stuff, and how to reach out to you?
Sure. My website is at voiceoversandvocals.com. The podcast is at audiobrandingpodcast.com. And on Clubhouse, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, I have basically rooms that talk about the power of sound. Wednesdays at 2 p.m., it goes anywhere from like public speaking, voiceover, audio branding, voice AI. We're doing audio NFTs in the next little while, all sorts of interesting topics. And then on Thursdays, I have a Voices in Podcasting room with a couple of friends of mine, Cheryl Holling and Anne Ganguza. Anne is actually a vocal coach, a voiceover coach, so she does that kind of thing. And we talk at 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and we talk about the convergence of voices and podcasting. Just a lot of fun.
Maybe Anne can help me with my accents.
Maybe she can.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to drop in on that room.
I think we should go through our own grading system. If you were interviewing yourself, how fast would you kick your ass out the door?
Yeah, pretty fast. Pretty fast. I'm pretty sure. Well, thanks once again, Jody. That will do it for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.